Hello, Internet friend. I'm David Revelle, and this is ValueSide for Monday, May 15. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit ValueSide.com. Well, today, free enterprise is, and always has been, the answer to inflation. Recently, I've received several responses from readers that say, essentially, that rising interest rates are the only way to stop this current bout of inflation. It's an argument that stems from a misunderstanding of what really occurred in the 1980s, when the nation also faced a time of low productivity and high inflation. Well, there's a particular contagion in Washington that stems from believing that they are the center of economic activity in the nation. It's the sense that unless our leaders guide the economy, it will fail. And at its heart is an arrogance of power, the belief that Washington, and only Washington, has the answers to all of today's economic problems. The Biden administration suffers from this particular malady more than any other president in recent memory. Now, the scope and reach of their control of the economy is arguably the greatest ever. Biden's stimulus program, sending out stimulus checks alone, increased the money supply by over $5 trillion. The Biden budget and subsequent deficits is nearly 500% greater than any other budget in our history. And it's been recently reported that there will be a Biden tax increase of over $4 trillion coming our way. Again, historically more than ever before. This president is doing more to insert government into the economy than anyone imagined was possible just a few years ago. There is a word for this: socialism. It's government control of the means of production. The step beyond this would be communism, government ownership of the means of production. Simply put, the Biden administration will tax and regulate production to a level that the entire private sector of the economy will bend to their will. Carbon-based energy will be eliminated. Hiring will adhere to the social norms and mores of Washington, and all the while the private sector will pay for these new programs and initiatives of the president. It's an onerous burden to be placed on the private enterprise sector of the economy, as well as us ordinary citizens. And at its heart is the origin of this inflation. Now, the conventional definition of inflation is too many dollars chasing too few goods and services. We often visualize inflation as rising prices. In fact, that's how we measure inflation, the rise in price levels. So the Consumer Price Index, CPI, rises, showing us inflation. In actuality, however, inflation is the other side of this coin. It's the decline of the buying power of the dollar. Let's look at this from the macro level. Back in the Great Depression of the 1930s, the buying power of the dollar was rising. It was a time of deflation. An economist named John Maynard Keynes recommended that the government spend more than it received in taxes. This would create a deficit, but it would also put the dollar in the hands of the ordinary citizen, encouraging them to spend. President Franklin Roosevelt followed Keynes' plan and brought the nation out of the Great Depression by creating inflation. Government spending created inflation and brought us out of deflation back in the 30s, just as it does today. Biden's government spending programs, the greatest in our history by far, is a principal contributor to the current bout of inflation. Stop the incredible government spending, and we'd go a long way in stopping inflation. But there is another, perhaps just as important method that this administration is using to promote inflation, and that is through regulation. This is most vividly seen in Biden's energy policy. In the president's war on carbon-based energy, he advocates energy sources that are much more expensive. Whatever else you can say about green, wind, and solar, the fact remains that it is more expensive than oil and gas. Since the beginning of the current inflation trend 2 years ago, the largest measure of inflation has been energy. It's energy inflation. And we're now seeing the second wave of inflation promoted by this initial higher prices of energy. It's the catch-up phase, where wages and salaries need to increase to meet the cost of living. Beginning with the government social programs like Social Security and Medicare, but also including government contracts and grants, it is inflation by law and will become embedded in this economy's overall price structure. Inflation by law. We could go on, but you see the trend. Unfortunately, we have entered a vicious inflation cycle where higher prices in one sector of the economy lead to higher costs in another. Fortunately, there is an answer to all this, a tried and true method that has been the source of this country's wealth and success all along. It's called the free enterprise system. Regrettably, many have forgotten, or never knew, the true origins of America's riches. For many, they will need to reorient some basic tenets. I note that most of the credit for ending the inflation of the 70s is given to Paul Volcker and the Federal Reserve and their policy of higher interest rates. And there can be no doubt that those higher interest rates did indeed reduce economic activity and thereby brought down inflation. Volcker did break the back of inflation of that time. But how do you explain the next three decades of inflation-free prosperity? Certainly that was not created by a one-time spike in interest rates. After all, Volcker quickly reversed those rates and brought interest rates back down to nearly the level they were before. There has to be another answer to the prosperity conundrum, and there is. Simply put, reverse what we are doing now. Lower taxes, deregulate, and allow the private sector to go back to work. In short, take the administration's grip off our throats. And that's exactly what Ronald Reagan did in the 1980s. The economic miracle that began then was a result of just such an economic policy. Although it took some time to implement, once Reagan's policy of promoting the private sector gained momentum, it lasted for years. In the years following the Reagan presidency, the American economy, real GDP, has increased by a remarkable 2,000%, while the stock market, as measured by the Wilshire 5000 Index, has had the longest bull phase in history, up double the economy. Now, there can be little doubt that the 40 years since Ronald Reagan reinstated our free enterprise system have been among the most prosperous in human history. But that prosperity is now threatened by a president and an administration that wants to drag us back to the high taxes and stiff regulations of a neo-socialist state. And that's The Value Side for Monday, May 15. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. I'm David Rebell. ValueSide is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.